Joshua Jacobson Parshas Shpotim. Start your day at Terry Manchester. Right, Mike's here for you.
His comment about flexibility may not be universally shared. So, what do you think I should do?
Whatever you fancy. If you're running out of time.
Mr. Fuldy, ready?
Yeah.
Okay. We're standing on the edge of some extremely chashuv days. The month of Adar. Now, people will say, we're getting ready for Purim. What do you mean, chashuv days now? Is this a chashuv time? Of course it is. And I'll bring you some proofs that the whole month of Adar is a very chashuv time. Beginning with the famous Gemara that you all know, the Gemara in Taina says, Kashim Shemachnisin Av Memaitim B'Simcha. Now listen carefully, Kach Mishenichnas Adar Marv B'Simcha. The whole month is for Simcha. And in Halacha, what I'm saying is not only a nice Hashkafa Vort, in Halacha we see it makes a difference as well. Number one, if a person is a Rachmana Litzon, is a court case with a Goy, you shouldn't know about it, but let's say it's for you to make megabucks. So when should you schedule it? Schedule it for Adar, as the Gemara says. Another halacha brought in Yoredeya, if you're planning to get married, you have a young couple getting married, so normally there's an inyan not to go into the later part of the month. But Yoredeya would say, don't worry about Adar, because the whole month is a time of Marbin B'Simcha, and based on the Pasek it says, HaChodesh Asher Nepach Lehem Yogin B'Simcha. The month, it doesn't say Purim was a time, it says the whole month was changed. And here's a halacha which I had never heard, maybe you'd never heard as well. The Yushalmi, Rav Nosson says, Kol HaChodesh Kosher L'Kriyas Megillah. We could read the Megillah starting tomorrow, according to the sheets in the Yushalmi. What's going on? Is it Purim? Is it not Purim? Doesn't matter. Because of this pasuk, it says a Chodesh, that was Nepach, so we see that the whole month was changed. It's suitable, according to that Shita, to go into Megillah mode. Now, what is so great about Adar? So we're saying it's a great time, a wonderful time. Well, we start with a hint in the name itself. Adar, people may have heard that you can split it into two components. Aleph, which is reference to Hashem, Alufo Shel Olam, Dar. He will dwell in our midst. It's a time when Hashem comes to dwell with us. So we find this in Chumash as well, that the materials for the Mishkan, the place, the dwelling place of Hashem, was put together, not built, but the materials were gathered by Adar. And the reading of the parshas that we're doing right now during Adar are all about the construction, the components of the Mishkan, all not coincidentally falling out in Adar. So this is start to get us warmed up to what's going on over here, why is this such a fantastic time. But not everybody shares my enthusiasm. I'll tell you a true story. I was in shul, and someone came up to me, as people do, and they asked me, what are you going to speak about in Start the Day? So I said, well, it's Rosh Chodesh Adar I'm speaking, so speak about Simchas Purim, Simcha of Adar. So he said to me with a straight face, wasn't meant to be a joke. He said, for my wife, Purim is like Tisha B'Av. So I said to him, what, your wife learns Gemara? She knows the Gemara we quoted, comparing Av to Adar. He said, no, kepshutai. So what are you talking about? He said, the pressure of getting the kids' costumes, the lachatz, and then after she finally got them the costumes, then they want to change their mind the day before Purim. They don't want to be that. She's got to run around and try to sort them out and calm them down. Unbelievable pressure for her. So is that it? He said, no. Then she wants to make a themed Purim Suda. So I'm trying to imagine what kind of things they do. Maybe they do a cruise ship, a cruise boat theme. So I'm thinking, I hope it's more enjoyable than the boat that's quarantined outside of Japan. That doesn't sound like much of a pleasure from this coronavirus. Or maybe they do a Brexit theme. So, but that's a good excuse. If you have anybody, any foreign Bachram who come in too drunk, you can just explain to them, Brexit, get out of here. Move on. He said, what else? She asked to put together dozens and dozens of Mashalach Manas, and he's the driver to deliver these. Putting together what? Hundreds and hundreds of sweets that people don't really want their children to eat. So, is she enjoying it? And then, they have to get plastic holders to hold the sweets with an original idea. How will they be presented? So I said to him, well, if you're going to do that, just make sure you fumigate them if they're coming out of China. So, I came away feeling that she probably dreaded Purim almost as much as she dreads Pesach. But I thought, this isn't normal. She is missing the whole point. She's missing what Purim is about, and women like her, and men like with this mindset, they need to get a total overhaul of how they feel about Purim. And we'll see about Adar as well. So, all very good and well. We feel, well, it's not so bad for us, especially if we don't have so many kids to deliver Mashalach Manas for. We're more relaxed. But let me ask myself, even if we don't find it oppressive and difficult and hard, but do we really say we've come through Adar and through Purim really enjoying it? Is that the way we want to feel that we accomplished a successful Purim, successful Adar? Many people, Adar today doesn't even register. You can tell by, we're not exactly with capacity crowds today. It's a very nice crowd, but they're not all dying to hear the message of Adar. Why? It's another month. We'll wait for Purim. So are we missing out on Adar? Adar is really a time meant to boost our simcha levels for the whole year. So we're losing out on that booster shot. And if we all agree that there's room for improvement, so I'm hoping that my shiur today will start to make a difference in people's attitudes. And even if you don't like the ideas that I'm going to present you with, which is possible, you may think, I've got a better idea. I'll be delighted. The point is just that people should see there's some way to improve others. There's some way to get access to simcha. Simcha requires a certain amount of focus. And if you come up with a plan, that's fantastic. I'm going to present you with three ideas that I found in Svarim. Maybe you'll say, okay, aren't you making a bit of a fuss about Simcha? Aren't you taking this a bit far? Well, I don't want to scare anybody, so I'll tell you the bad news and then the good news. If you just think about Netochecha, what does it say? One of the reasons why Chas v'Shalom these things happen? Tachas asher lo yavadata Hashem Elokecha b'simcha, emphasis, uva tuv leivov. So Simcha seems to be a pretty big component in how to avoid trouble. And on the upside, look at what the Arizal said about himself. The Gedolei Yisrael of all time. This is, I don't know who wrote this down, presumably one of his Talmidim. He was Zoicha Lehasagas Chochmas Nifloi. He got his incredible levels in Ruchnias and Ruach HaKodesh. Why? HaKol Haya B'Shvil Shaya Sameach Simcha Rabba Be'Iskar B'Torah Uvekim Shu Mitzvah. Because of his Simcha in learning Torah and keeping mitzvahs, even more than if you would find 10,000 pounds sitting on the floor in MH's parking lot with no simanim on them. You have no chiv to return them. Could you imagine the simcha you'd have for finding that? The Arizal said, when he did a mitzvah, when he learned Torah, that was what he made his avodah to enjoy it that much. And through that, it wasn't just, I want to feel good about life. Through that, he was zoicha to Ruach HaKodesh and his madregas. So we see the stakes are very high to try to get a hold of some simcha. So I would like to present some ideas that I hope can transform our approach to acquiring the amazing midah, the beautiful midah of simcha. And through that, we'll see it's going to be a big impact on our lives. Now, people would probably like me to continue my shir by saying, okay, we want simcha. So, where's the whiskey? You bring the chaim cups. Right? Or the younger generation say, okay, just turn the music up. We'll get there. Have a bit of booze, a bit of music. That's the simcha. Maybe some people would like me to tell some jokes out of a knock-knock book. But that is not the etza, right? That's not the simcha. I won't go into what that is, but that's not the simcha we're talking about. We're talking about if you want something valuable in Ruchnias, you have got to put some genuine effort into it. It's not going to be too hard. Nobody's going to get out of here feeling depressed. It's going to be nice ideas, beautiful ideas, enjoyable ideas, but there are things you have to focus your mind on. And whiskey is not the solution. So, let's start with the first idea. First, I want to give all of these ideas require a bit of background, and then you'll see where we're heading with them. So Rashi on that Gemara I quoted to you, he says, Misha nichnas Adar, his divrei maskil, he says something out of the blue. We're talking about Adar, we're talking about Av. And he says, Yemei nisim hayu l'Yisrael Purim v'Pesach. We're talking about Pesach, we're talking about Purim. So, the question is, what is Rashi getting at? And there are lots of answers. But there is some connection between the Simcha of Pesach and Purim, and the Bnei Yisachar says a beautiful mahalach, which will lead to my point. He says, what was the Simcha of Pesach vis-a-vis relative to that of Purim? Well, Pesach Simcha is also fantastic. We saw the Makkos, we saw Kriyas Yamsuf. This was an open and obvious demonstration of Hashem's Hashkacha Pratis, and there was no denying it. It was meant to be obvious. He showed the world he can do exactly what he wants. There's no limits on his influence in the natural world. Fine. This is a great source of simcha. We say, we're an Am Nivchar, look at what he'll do for us. But, says the Bnei Yisachar, Purim takes it further. How's that shaykh? How can you take that simcha further? What are we missing? Hashem loves us, he'll do anything for us. What do we want? So he says like this. After Pesach, and after seeing Hashem's Hashkacha Pratis, you could walk away with a mistake. You could say, yes, I see this is Hashem's Hashkacha, but maybe, he says, you'd even walk away from it feeling uncared for, Chas V'Shalom. How can you feel uncared for after Pesach? So he says like this, yes, Hashem will do all these things. He'll do Nisim Geluyim. But what happens when you don't need Nisim Geluyim? Right now, we don't need a Nes Galuy, I don't think. We're just sitting in MH, we're learning. So now what's going to happen? We saw Yetzias Mitzrayim, he could do whatever he wanted. But what happens when there's no need to crush the Mitzrayim, to split the Yam? What's going to be then? So we could think, not without basis, that he will hand over some of the daily mundane routine to his shuluchim. Would we expect the monarch of a country to personally organize the bus routes? Well, it would shock us. Well, doesn't he have other things to do? If he had answered the phone in the palace, we'd say, could I speak to the king? Oh, you are the king. We'd say, there's something wrong here. So, what would we expect, Lahavdil, by the Rabboni Shalom? The same thing. He's so powerful. His greatness is unimaginable. His brilliance, we can't grasp in any slight way. Doesn't he have appointees to take care of the mundane things in life? And that's what could happen after Pesach and after the Nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So who do we think he handed it to? Not some schmoigers. He handed it to big things, big people. They're not people, but a big appointees. He could hand it over to the Mazalos. He could hand it over to the Malachim. Right? Those are good people for the job. Good. They're not people, but we don't expect Hashem to be a micromanager. We say, hey, enough already. You've done the big things. You've got others who can take care of the tree. They'll follow your rules down to the last detail. No messing around. Isn't that how it could work? So we wouldn't be so wrong, because these mazalos, in fact, are very, very crucial in terms of how the goyim live. There are mazalos, and they do affect the world. And the goyim are very much under their control. But the Gemara in Shabbos says, Ein mazal Yisrael. We have to know we're different. Hashem not only handles the big things in our life, but he also handles, he doesn't give over to our lives to the mazalos. We say, Ein mazal Yisrael means, in matters of ruchnias, or a tefillin, or schusim, we can go straight to the top. We do get the phone answered in the palace from the king. He does make the bus routes for us. Everybody else, you've got your mazalos, you've got your malachim. So this is what he says, is an incredible message that Purim adds on top of Pesach. Purim, the big things. Now we walk away feeling, okay, what else? Everything else. When it comes to the Yid, don't make the mistake. We are having lives completely under his Hashkacha. And this is one of the important messages we take away from the Megillah. We've all heard this idea that the Megillah, nowhere Hashem's name appears anywhere in the Megillah. And yet, we see, if we look into it, his guiding hand behind everything. Every movement, every word that comes out of people's mouths. Details, minutiae, the tiny things. We might be tempted to look at the world. We say, he's not nigla. things go pear-shaped, we say, oh, there's a bug or a virus in the system. If things go well, then we say, well, this was a very clever programmer. He set everything in place the way he should have many years ago, but he's not watching the screen right now. And Purim comes to tell you he is. He's involved every second of every day. And this, if you think about it, is an incredible source of simcha. To know that the Bnei Shalom is involved in this way, I'll show you from your own lives how much of an impression this makes to be besimcha. We'll feel more cared for. If you would live in a world where things are just running by an unattended machine, it's very, very disturbing. What happens when you call up your bank, your whoever, and they say, please choose from five options? You're thinking in your mind, I am anyway, please let one of the options be to speak to somebody. But you go through five options, it isn't. Or anything else. They think, okay, anything else, I'll push five. Let's see where that goes. Maybe I'll get to speak to somebody. You get to the next level. Again, three options, four options. The tension is building. Is there a human being on the other side of this phone, or am I just going to be stuck in the world of computers? And then you finally get to the last choice, and it gives an auto cutout. They hang up on you. Well, if we had more hair to pull out, we would start pulling our hair out, but we don't want to risk it for that just over this silly call. Anyway, it's very disturbing. So they've come up with something which is supposed to placate us, voice recognition. So you get to speak into the phone. I don't know, it's supposed to be more human. So you speak and you say, yes, not my name. The other day they asked me my birth date. So I thought, well, this is easy. I'll tell them September 20th. And the machine says to me, did you say March the 1st? I said, no, I don't know if I could say, I said, no. So they say, okay, please tell us your birth date again. September 20th. So did you say February 17th? No. This went on. The fifth time I thought, okay, maybe if I shout, it'll understand better. You know, sometimes people understand if you shout. So the American accent threw them off. Well, I can't blame them, right? So I won't tell you if I shouted or didn't, but I'll just tell you it still didn't understand me. I was thinking, please let me speak to somebody. And if that's not a strong enough example of how we yearn to have somebody paying attention, these computers are not made by idiots. They're made by people who spend millions making voice recognition, programming all the options that people could do and sending you to your account, sending you make transfers, whatever. And still, it's a heartless and it makes you feel like, I want more out of life than this. I'd like to, even if it's someone in Pakistan who can't really understand me, I'd still rather speak to them than to speak to these computers. It's frustrating, but eventually you can say, okay, do you have a superior? Yeah, could I speak to somebody else? So you have hope. Yeah, another case, you go to the emergency, not you, someone goes to the emergency room, right? We know what the waits can be like there. We know there's a wait. Chas v'shalom, we shouldn't need it. We know there's triage, so our case may not be that high in the list. So we give our name, we sit down, an hour goes by, an hour and a half. Imagine you go by after 2 hours, and you go to the nurse and say, you know, can you give me any news? Do you know, oh, we forgot to put your name on the list. If you're not getting any personal attention, it's depressing. So a person wants to know that there is attention, personal attention. Even, in my example, even in the emergency room, it means something. You're not in very difficult matzavim, you just want to know somebody personally is interested. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is, not the person, but he is that interest in our lives. And that is a gewaldic source of simcha. So the question will be now, if it's so much simcha to know that Hashem is in our lives, how do we get the clarity that that's what's happening? So there are a few different ways. You could maybe think of more. One is to look into your own life. And you'll see, this is written in the many Sforim, if you look into your own life, in a daily, today, you go out and you start looking for things, did something kind of unusual happen? The classic example is you open a sefer and it's on the page that you were looking for. 350 pages in the sefer and this is the page you wanted, or the halacha you needed. So in the course of preparing this year, that happened to me more than once, and you can say, this is not just coincidence, it's not just because the guy before me happened to want to open this page as well, or maybe you forgot you opened it yesterday. No. What's going on over here? You know none of those things are true. That is, you can see a little tiny speck of Yad Hashem in your life. And if you go through the day looking for these things, you're getting constant reminders that build up the sense that somebody, it's not the push-button response of the computer, it's a living connection with Hashem. And one of my rabbis said it's important to keep a physical reminder of this, if something really chashiv happens to you, to carry around with you. So I had amazing, I'm not going to say the whole story, but I had amazing coincidence, whatever you call it, hashgacha pratis, where we ended up getting, it wasn't coincidence, Yad Hashem. We got bumped up, a whole family got bumped up to first class when we had missed a flight through our own fault. So I walked away from saying, and the woman who helped us, her name was Esther Gill, which I thought was kind of interesting as well, Hester and Gilloy. But anyway, the interesting Maisa was American Airlines, 15 years. I took the ticket, I put it on my shelf, and occasionally I look at it to remind me from a Maisa that happened, this is what happened to me in my life. It was Muradik at the time, and it still gives me a chizuk. So hold on to something that reminds you. Another way, classic, is read. Don't rock up at the Megillah and just read along. There's pages and pages of dozens and dozens of svarim which go into this inyan, prate pratim, in the Megillah. Where do you see hashgacha pratis? So if you're not seeing it enough in your own life, look in the story of the Megillah, and you'll see that is the message over and over again. I'll give you an example now. Even from the strangest parts of the Megillah, there are things that would surprise you. Tosfos says on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Divrei Maaskal HaKesef, he says, the Pasuk says, HaKesef Nosun Loch. This is a gematria. I don't know how many Tosfos go into gematria as this one does. And he says, HaKesef is 165. HaEitz is 165. Telling you, this was a hint. As they were making the plans, two Rishoyim were getting together to make the plans to Chas V'Shalom destroy the Yidden, the very words that left his mouth, that was a hint to the eights that Haman was going to be hung on. Okay, Tosfos, understand, and nice gematria. Think about this for a second. What language did Haman and Achashverosh speak? Were they from Cheder? Did they go around speaking Yiddish? Lashon HaKodesh? I think they spoke nothing of the sort. They probably spoke, people can tell me if they know, Parsi, some language, nothing to do with Lashon HaKodesh. How do you make gematrias from foreign languages? Imagine you hear your two Polish builders working outside, and the one says something in Polish, and the other one says whatever he says. You say, did you hear the gematria in that? We would say to you, they're Polish, this is not Lashon HaKodesh, you can't. But Tosfos says you can. How does that work? Hashem, in the Megillah, is showing you that even in the words of the Goyim, in their own languages, there are hidden, encrypted messages which you can learn from. So you say, am I not taking this a bit far? Consider the following. Is it a coincidence that the internet has a second, reference? What is it? The web. Of all the things to describe it as, don't we, and then they make, all the old people always make a matzah of the web, it entangles people, entraps people. Is that just coincidence? I mean, does that really describe what the internet is? Is it a web? It's a bunch of computers linked together. Who gave it that crazy name? This is one of many examples where in their own languages, there is a message contained. This is through Yad Hashem. You say, I'll give you another simple one. The keypad, when they used to exist, I don't know if they still exist, one of the keys was not called the exit key. Someone pointed this out. It's called the escape key. Yeah, the same point. Sometimes you need to escape. It's the remozim in the world we live in as well. So that's the first stage, the first suggestion. That is, look for a glimpse of the Yad Hashem. And also, the Sforim say, the more you look, the more Hashem will be megala these hints to you. So it's a simcha that builds on itself. Okay, I want to move on because I know we're ending a bit earlier than I thought. So I'm going to try to pack in a lot into the time. The second idea, I'll just start with an introduction about the mazalos, because we're leading somewhere with the mazalos. Number one, we said the yidden are above the mazal, but there are mazalos, and there are 12 of them, and the goyim are very much subject to the power that Hashem has given them. Every 30 days, one of the 12 mazalos goes by until a cycle of 12 has passed. What is Adar's mazal? It's called dagim, the fish. Now, think about that for a second. How many of the mazalos have a double name, dagim, two fish? One fish isn't enough. You need two of them, right? Ta'umim and maznayim, two others, right? But think about it. A scale, maznayim, You can't have old-style scales with one hand. You had to have two. You put something here and there's nothing to counterweight, that's not a scale. And to Umim, go find me a twin who doesn't have a brother or a sister or whatever. By definition, you must be two. Therefore, they had to be double because that's the nature of what they are. Mashen came, you can easily find one fish. I brought this as a proof. You don't need two fish. So what's going on here that we have two dagim? So, some say this is to help us understand, it's a remez or whatever you want to describe it, it links in with the idea of Adar Sheni, that it's one, but it in some ways it has to be two. It's the only month where you can have two months. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Ein ma'avrim el Adar. You can only make a second month of Adar. You can't have two Nisans, two Tishreis, however much you're enjoying it. You can't do it. It's only Adar. It's only the only one with two. So now, if go back to our sky pattern of stars, you have only room, 30 degrees of the 360 degrees, for each of the mazalos. Adar has its place. Now along comes Adar Sheni. Where are you going to fit it? There's not enough room. We're talking about the stars, not talking about the lunar months. We're talking about this band of stars. There's no room for these mazalos. Guess what? Haman knew this. And Haman said, aha, this is the best time for go for my attack on the Yidden. There's no mazel in the stars to help to interfere with my plans. I have free rein to do what I want. Memela, my plan will be a success. The other thing that appealed to Haman, the Medrash says, is he said, just like fish swallow one another whole, I want to swallow the Yidden up completely. And we see this mission in Avos, which says people should daven for the Shlemishul Malchus, because if not, a man would swallow up his fellow. So it means if there's nobody's interfering with people's plans, they can get up to the worst kinds of things. And Haman was counting on it. The Rabbeinu Ephraim al Torah says someone born in Adar Sheni is more vulnerable to Kishuv. I don't know if anybody in the room is, so you better get some advice. But nevertheless, we see it's a time which is less protected under the mazalos. We don't want really protecting the mazalos, because it's better than nothing. So, we would think, by looking at it, there's nobody running the show during Adar Sheni. That's what Haman thought. If nobody's running the show, what's going on over here? Hashem wanted to prove, Haman thought, that's to his advantage. But Hashem knew this was the best possible time to send the message of Adar, of Purim, of Hashkacha Pratis. Seemingly there's nobody running the show, there's no mazalos around here, and look, Hashem exercises complete and total control over the daily lives of everybody involved in the Megillah and ourselves. So, okay, we've explained about Adar Sheni, let's get back to the fish. What's so special about the fish? So the fish, the Gemara in Brachas says, on Nun Hei Amud Beis, that the fish have a special milah that they're protected from the Ayin Hara. Fishermen look at them in the water, and because of the refraction of the light, they can't see really where the fish are. They're protected. Or because the water's cloudy, whatever, the fish have a safer time. And the Gemara says, who is this like? It's like Yosef HaTzadik. And this is going to be a comparison we're going to use going forward. So why? What was special about Yosef HaTzadik and the Ayin Hara being protected? He was protected from Ayin Hara because, some say, because he didn't put his eyes on Eishes Potiphar. So Mida Keneged Mida, he used his eyes for the right things, didn't let them drift into Isser. He was protected from Ayin Hara. So, the Mepharshim take it one step further. Each of the months has a corresponding Shevet. The Shevet, which corresponds to Adar, according to many of the Mepharshim, is Yosef's. Now, this is a comparison, we're saying, to fish, but also it's a comparison because he had two sons, like the two fish, who were raised to be the status with the same mila as if they were shvatim. So you have two combined in one, like the two dagim, which is all one mazel. But there is even a deeper level. What this has to do with Yosef. The Svas Emes says, a fantastic idea, and you have to follow the stages here. Not too many stages, but it's a very beautiful idea. He says, what was Yosef's great mila? His great mila was the midah of Kedusha. Like we just said, in Mitzrayim, he kept away from the worst. And he kept away from a woman who was right of him. He had the mila of Kedusha. Now, he was able, through that mila, to actually bring the Shechina into Mitzrayim. So, he not only gave this mita, he had this personal mita, but he gave this mita to all of Klal Yisrael. We can describe ourselves, the Gemara says in Brachos, we can all call ourselves the Zera of Yosef. I know we were the Zera of Yaakov, but the Gemara says we can also describe ourselves as Zera of Yosef, and this is one of the ideas. We have the Mila of Kedusha, we have access to it. So now, I want to show you... Sorry? Okay. Okay. I want to show you now an interesting point. If Yosef's Mila was Kedusha, he must have also been very connected to the Mila of Simcha. Now, how does that work? Because you have Kedusha, you have Simcha. Well, it does seem to. Because what? He's through the Mila of Kedusha, we say he brings the Shekhinah. So how do you get the Shekhinah? You have to make yourself suitable to receive the Shekhinah. You have to make yourself somebody who Kedusha will be comfortable in you. Okay, so let's say you've got that Kedusha. What does it have to do with Simcha? Does everybody remember that there's a famous saying, Gemara and Shabbos, Ein Shekhinah Shoira Ella Metoch Devar Simcha Shel Mitzvah. The Shekhinah won't come to something unless it's a Mokum of Simcha. Now how do you put those together? You've made yourself into a Kaddish. The Shekhinah is happy to come to you. Well, you must have one other characteristic. Otherwise the Shekhinah won't come. The Shekhinah won't be Shoira unless there's Simcha. Elamai, it comes out that these two things are toila ha-baha. The more Kedusha a person has, the more Shekhinah he has, and the more Simcha he has. We're not talking the Simcha we said of the whiskey and the joke books, but this is an emistic, a penimistic Simcha. So, Adar is this fantastic opportunity to chap Kedusha and to bring into our lives more Shekhinah. The Simcha of Adar allows us to get access to the Kedusha and also to the Shekhinah. And as we said, this is the best time to do it. Adar, Hashem will come and dwell amongst you. So now, very nice, I've built a case, we all want to become Kedoshim. How do you do it? So, it's a big subject, but I'll give you some simple ideas and things that we've probably all realized, that Purim itself, there are incredible opportunities for Shmir Seinayim. Because there's a taruvus of people running all around, Anoshim v'Anoshim, and a person has to make a conscious decision, I want to be Koina, the Mila of Kedusha, through Shmir Seinayim. Yalkut Yeshayahu says, a person who shows his eyes is Zoykut Makabal Pnei Shechina, which fits with what we're saying very well. So, and if you doubt that maybe I'm making too big of an Indian, Shmir Seinayim, they say, you speak to Hanhala in the Yeshiva, and you say to them, why did Bachurim get depressed? So there are probably more than one answer, but they'll say a common feature is they're not being Makbid on Kedusha. So we're saying the flip side. If you want to have more Simcha in your life, so you have to be Makbid on Kedusha, what you see is one big point of access. And now, with the remaining 2.5 minutes, I want to suggest the third and final idea. And that final idea is the idea of gratitude. Gratitude brings a person also to a fantastic level of Simcha. So I want to tell you a story that happened. I have to make it quick. But I was at a thing called the Chalin Fest. The Chalin Fest was an event put on, and they had lots of people coming in to try different challens. I was passing by because I was teaching in the shul attached. As I walked by, a fellow who I used to talk many years ago was there, came up to me and said, with a big smile, he said, I've had big progress in my Yiddishkeit. So I said, well, tell me about it. So he said, for 10 years I learned with so-and-so, and for 3 years I learned with you, but now I've really been given some fantastic advice. I said, what is it? So he said, well, I was in a rut, I had doubts in Emunah, and then this rabbi who was speaking to told me a very simple piece of advice. He said, spend an hour, which is a long time, spend an hour writing down all the things you're grateful for. Just a simple list. Anything. Doesn't have to be I'm grateful to Hashem, just things you're grateful for. Fine. So he took it seriously. He said, I can't do an hour, I'll do half an hour and half an hour. The rabbi said, fine. He came back with a list, said, how many did you write? So he said, 50 things. He said, 50? That's not enough. Go back and write some more. He said, why? How many do you expect? He said, the average is 200 things. And one person did 400 things. He'd done this with dozens and dozens of people. And so he did it. Fine. He said, because he asked him, aren't you grateful you have this, you have that? He said, oh yeah, I'm grateful. He had to think of it. But he said, after I did it, I've become a much happier person. What's pshat? He said, I'm happier and I'm more excited to serve Hashem. So I said, what's going on? If a person, simply put, a person recognizes how much good he has in his life, which requires to stand back and think, how much good do I have? Maybe make a list. Maybe review it. You don't have to spend all day. You don't have to spend the whole day reviewing your list. But just getting the mindset is, I have an obligation to myself. If I want to be a happier person, and I want to be a growing person, because you'll want to serve Hashem more if you appreciate that Hashem is doing wonderful things for you. So then, put some time into it. And I said to him, you want to give your children the biggest gift you could possibly give them? And he got really nervous, and a sweat broke across his brow. I thought it was going to tell him to go buy them all a Rolex or something. I said, tell them this vort, to remember to be grateful. You'll make them happier people, and you'll make them better Ovdei Hashem. That's the biggest gift you could give to them. And truthfully, it's the biggest gift we could give to ourselves. And the thing, one of the Hashgacha processes in this series of events, was the night before I had seen the exact same vort in the Pele Yoetz, in his section called Simcha, that this is a crucial key, and you can see it also in Mesilas Yesharim in the 8th Perek. If a person wants to be a happier person, he wants to be a better Oved Hashem, focus on being grateful. If a person's grateful, you're happier. Who doesn't want to be happier? Okay, you have to use your mind a bit. Remind yourself, this is good. You could be sitting in the car and think, I'm glad the car is working today. I'm glad I've got a tape to listen to. Whatever you want. I'm glad that guy didn't just drive into me. Whatever you want to be grateful for, you can spend your whole day being grateful. So let me just finish with a summary of what we've said. How will we acquire more simcha in Adar? We said, look for the Yad Hashem in your life. Number two, we said, try to increase the Kedusha in your life. And lastly, to try to make a kavias, to be grateful. We should all be zeichut to have Adar and lives with fantastic levels of simcha, and be zeichut to be Yisrael Tzedek b'mehera v'yameinu.